On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Washington Football Talk Podcast. We are on location. It's an Oarsman afternoon. We're at Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Pete's about 3 feet away from a Highlander, I believe. Nice facility. We're outdoors. It's in Chantilly on the circle of car dealerships. Pete, I almost said Pete Tischler. Pete Haley's here.
Oh,
Mitch
no.
Tischler's here. And Michael Phillips, Richmond Bureau Chief, sitting in with us. We also
VP
have
of Bits as we, well.
The VP of Bits, sure. We have a very strong audience here. We're going to get questions from everybody. We're going to do that a little later. We got to start, though. Today was billed as the Super Sunday practice. How super was Sunday? Philly, you start.
It was super special teams practice. We got Adrian Peterson got tackled by Chase Young in like the first drill. And I would say my excitement level was a 9 coming into the day.
It was a serious tackle.
That serious tackle happened. I was like a 12. I was like, this will be the best day we've ever spent in Ashburn. And then they did punt and kickoff the rest of the day.
There was a buzz, dude. There was like early on, like when the players were barking at each other, when they were running out for that first red zone full contact. AP, I mean, Chase Young kind of pile-drived him. I don't know, the pile drove?
What yeah.
Pile drove him?
It was pile-driven into the ground.
Correct. And they put the clip up, right?
Yeah, they put the clip up.
Fans could see that for themselves, come up with their own verb.
Yeah. Ron Rivera came out and was like, today's about competition. And we were like, yeah. Kime was like headbutting me on the sideline. It was all set up to be excellent. And
Kime
was
had
like,
his knee brace on. He was ready to go today.
It was like a standard
Sunday. I had Philly
Sunday.
And Les lined up for an Oklahoma drill. I mean, they were ready
who
go.
Who are you taking in that? Philly versus Carp?
I think
who are you taking?
Philly's quicker, but Carp's got a little more bulk to him.
Carp's 6'2"-ish. He's a little tall.
But he would try to think his way through
it. I bet he plays low.
Low man wins.
But it was kind of
it was important. It was important for what Ron Rivera wants to do to identify the people he can rely on for these very important things. But it was boring for me to watch.
We don't do politics here on the podcast. That was a very political answer.
Well, dude,
if it hadn't been billed as something extreme, it would have just been like, oh, that was a productive Sunday. But the billing kind of hurt.
Also, the Jonathan Allen thing took
the Jonathan Allen. Let's go there. Good. We're still plenty of Jets around. So don't worry about that. To the listening audience, there are ample Jets to fly overhead.
Because why wouldn't
7 feet above us?
Why wouldn't there? It was pretty damn low.
It's going to be like the scene in Wayne's World. Pete's going to be cursing Mitch out, but you won't hear it.
Every time Ron Rivera starts his
post-game speech. He knows way better than that.
Every time Ron Rivera starts his post-practice speech, we all stand as close as we can with our ears out, and a plane immediately flies over. Can't hear a word he says. Thank you, Dulles. Anyway, John Allen. So it was the – correct me if I'm wrong, too. I want to say this was the second session of live 11-on-11 starting offense, starting defense. So they had the first one, which is when we were fairly amped up, the AP Chase Young collision. Then they did some live specials. And we're going to get into why that's actually important, but not right now. But then they went back to 11-on-11. They were about midfield, maybe like the 35-40-ish. And Haskins throws a ball that I think was picked.
Stroman got it. Picked a Cam Simmons.
But that became completely secondary because John Allen's rolling around on the ground, holding on to his left knee. And in that moment, you're like, oh, shit. This is bad. You know what?
It's not our problem.
Yeah. That's the accurate way to describe the situation.
Yes.
I've been very good about cursing, but that was the accurate way.
I completely agree.
Okay. And then it's funny because the DBs, like all the people 30 yards downfield where the play on the ball happened. We're celebrating, running upfield. You can hear them all like hoot, like. The defense gets very animated when there's a turnover. All of that was happening, and then you finally, like, you realize, like, everybody kind of turned their head, and they're like, oh, and then it was silent. And that silence on a football practice field is so disturbing. Right. It's just like you recognize the gravity of the situation, then you realize it's 93 on the ground. You're like, oh, man, this is a big deal. He looked like he was in serious pain. A few minutes later, he's able to – trainers are out there.
Trainers helped
happening.
Him walk off the field. Right. They walked him off to the side.
But he wasn't walking barely.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely had a lot of help on that.
Right. It seemed like next to no weight was going on that left leg.
They sat him down on a Gatorade cooler, then or sat him down on the ground.
High-end medical equipment. Hey, yeah. Sit on the cooler.
Well, sat him down on the ground, did some of those knee tests that they normally do. Sat him on the Gatorade cooler. They walked away to get him a knee brace. He was doing some stretching with his knee. Kind of there, and then they rolled up the knee brace. And
by the end of practice,
took his helmet,
walking around.
So they took him to the Gatorade cooler. When the doctors left, he walked over and grabbed his helmet.
Yeah.
And then somebody came over and
No.
That he's always like that, though. And knowing him a little bit, that's zero surprise that he tried to go back out there. It's August 28th, dude. You don't need a soldier on.
I don't want to see him tomorrow either.
He should.
I don't care if he feels great tomorrow morning.
Honestly, I don't think he should go. I mean, maybe Wednesday. I don't know.
They're off Tuesday. By Wednesday, you're into regular season type training mode.
Right. I just think just be safe.
Yeah, definitely.
And a lot of, like, so Rivera said afterwards, nothing looks serious, everything's fine, whatever. But sometimes they do the MRI the next day and more stuff's revealed. It doesn't appear to be one of those situations.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be one of those situations. When they put a knee brace on you and let you kind of stay on
walk
the practice
around,
field,
right.
walk around, like, that gives you a pretty good idea, because definitely when they do the drawer test, the ACL drawer test on his knee, and like the stability things, they can get a pretty good feel about how stable
what
everything
test?
Is in there.
Dr.
The
Mitch,
drawer
man.
Test,
like
drawer.
A drawer, like a
open, like an
open
drawer.
Drawer.
What
there
they do
drawers?
Is they take either side of your knee and they basically push it to the left or right, and if it opens up like a drawer, like away from your, then you know that there's damage to the ACL.
When did you go to medical school?
I still don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
You want to turn over here?
Do a drawer test.
You.
Do a drawer test. Like,
live
I'm
drawer
not a
test.
Doctor, so this is a
this
Pete
is weird.
Cursory thing.
Pete, film this for the Instagram.
Really weird.
Oh, Philly's on it. What are we doing?
All right.
This feels
odd. They push on the sides.
It kind of hurts. You got the big
They push
balls.
On both the sides on the left and right, and if it pops out one side or the other, they can tell whether there's damage to the ACL there.
But if your knee pops out.
It's the way that it slides like a drawer off like to the side. You know
as
what?
I spill this soda.
We'll have to reach out to some doctors and they can tell me that I'm right about this.
Maybe Dr. Chow's available.
Yeah, definitely. I believe that guy.
All right, so John Allen's fine. How about that? Voice crack. John Allen, we think, is fine.
You're underselling what happened before the realization, though. Stroman intercepted Cam Sims, but as Stroman landed, Cam Sims decided he was going to wrestle the ball back away. And the two of them were, like, rolling around on the ground for 20 seconds, wrestling the ball from each other.
Well, and the DBs...
I was watching the guy writhing in pain.
The DBs grabbed Stroman, and, like, Cam Sims had, like, one hand in on the ball and was, like, getting dragged with as the DBs were, like, pulling Stroman off of him. It was pretty funny. And for the guy who reached out... Jack Del Rio did not take off and run to the other side of the field, but he also may have been watching. He may have been watching
the guy
writhing 93 writhing around on the ground. So
the reason I think we saw so much special teams, and Ron kind of hinted towards this, is that's what's going to determine the bottom 10 guys on this roster is who gives them the most on specials. I think Cam Sims, Trey Quinn, is that everybody's battle for the sixth receiver spot?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am. My money is on Cam Sims. Nate Katzer today yelled at him on what was a super boring drill. Imagine a live onside kick drill that we got to watch for like 7 minutes.
Not live though.
Right.
Pretty live.
Nah, not live.
There was no blocking. They weren't blowing anybody up trying to recover the ball.
It was like a walkthrough of an onside kick.
I'm telling you, that's a live onside kick. I think you guys are misremembering onside kicks.
There's not a lot
that happens on an onside
kick.
There
were four of us there. Three of us remember it one way. And you're still talking.
That's fair. That's fair.
As per usual.
Whatever, but Katzer screamed. So Trey Quinn catches the onside kick.
Yeah.
And Katzer's, Cam Sims, Cam Sims. And I thought,
Nate Katz was going to
say his first mean thing I've ever heard him say.
Yeah.
Excellent job. Excellent job.
To my knowledge, Cam Sims just kind of stood there. I don't see what he did, but he did something
right.
No,
the point was the back receiver was supposed to recover the ball. The front guys were supposed to block the
– Okay, so Cam wasn't tempted to go get
Cam
the ball.
Right, so right. He Cam did a good nothing. Job by avoiding the football.
Letting the ball go by him, and that made Nate
That's
really happy.
That's what kind of drill it yeah. was. All right,
Cam had a big catch downfield against Jimmy Moreland.
On a Kyle Allen ball, too.
Yeah, first time I've seen Kyle
That's
Allen
my thing with
ball
Cam
downfield.
Is, like, his hands are – pretty iffy.
But then Trey had a touchdown, I think, from Haskins.
And yeah. Trey Quinn seems a little more reliable, but if you're looking at it just a fifth or sixth receiver, you don't really need the reliable guy. Take the guy with the crazy skills and the big size and just keep trying to develop him. So I have Cam Sims over Trey.
That's my stance.
Yeah.
I'm taking Trey Quinn. By the way,
why?
Quinn has a heck of a rapport with Allen.
Like, they do.
If Allen ever becomes a starting quarterback, yeah. go big on Quinn in fantasy. I think he's versatile. I think he brings a lot to the table. I think the upside's a little higher, and I think they both go to the practice squad if you need them to, but I think Sims is a little more you can get Sims to the practice squad.
Not to be rude,
I
but
think you can get either of them to the practice squad.
Agreed there. Hearing the word upside or Trey Quinn is a bit odd to me. I don't think there's a lot of upside.
The Trey Quinn also dragging has gotten to be a little too much as well. He has good hands. Like, he's made plays in NFL games, and Cam Sims has not done that.
Right,
Trey Quinn caught a TD in Dallas. He had a two-point conversion last year. It's gotten to be... I mean, like, luckily it seems like fans are letting Apke out of the everything he does is terrible world, but Quinn has replaced him. Like, he's not terrible. I'm saying I just put my roster out. I have Sims ahead of him, but I think we're overly dismissive.
He averaged 7.8 yards per catch last year.
You also
I'm saying
26 catches for 198 yards. That's like what you can get out of J.D. McKissic as a running back. Like, I'd much rather have Cam Sims try and catch one for 30 than Trey Quinn.
I agree with you.
Seven for 20.
I'm just saying, look at my Twitter. Like, everybody's like, Trey Quinn sucks. He doesn't suck, dude.
He doesn't suck.
He's caught
suck.
A touchdown in an NFL
where
game.
Yeah.
How much have we heard about Cam Sims and upside? This is the third year now with him. Everyone gets all excited
about him in
training
camp. What did
Jimmy
say about potential?
Every year people get excited about him in training
camp. It ain't nothing unless you know what to do with it.
Potential ain't nothing unless you know. I don't know. I can't say it how Jimmy does. But
right.
I think Cam Sims is a prime example.
But my
of
thing is,
but
if
Cam Sims, you've
this
seen
is all
Trey
an
Quinn
elaborate
it.
Plan for Mitch to talk about Darvin Kitsey.
I wasn't going to go there, but you know how I feel about
but
it.
But my thing is, potential is perfect for the fifth receiver spot. You don't really need a sure-handed guy. Fifth.
He wasn't enough potential the past 2 years. Why is he all of a sudden now?
He was. He just got hurt. He was on the team. But what's remarkable about all of this is that the assumption is that Isaiah Wright, a new undrafted wideout, is just on the team. Like, we have Isaiah Wright as the fifth guy, and Sims and Quinn are battling it out for sixth.
It's not the strongest receiving core.
It's a humble group.
Very humble.
I mean, the offense is humble pretty much across the board, outside of Terry.
Good news today, marginally. The O-line performed better than I think we expected. At least early on. I think the D-line started to wear him down in the second half of some of those matchups.
How comfortable are you in Jaron Christian starting left tackle week one?
Oh, let's do a comfort scale.
Ten is he'll just replace Trent Williams.
No.
He'll be a Pro Bowler.
No,
what are you sleeping on? You're going to bed right now. What are you sleeping on? How comfortable is it?
It's not a waterbed.
No, it's not.
It's not a king
it's
size.
It's not a money king bed.
Tempur-Pedic.
It might be like a dorm room, like the single bed.
Oh,
you get.
It's a little better than that.
I don't know, man.
Like I think it's
like
a buddy's couch.
Rubber dorm room mattress.
I think it's your couch that I slept in when I left the sliding door open and it was cold all night. That's about
how
comfortable
That's a pretty comfortable couch.
But the door was open and it was cold. Well,
that was your fault.
Yeah. I'm not.
I'm going dorm room bed.
I think it's like the first bed that you buy when you graduate college, the first bed that you bought for your own apartment. Like, it's a nice bed. It's way nicer than anything you had in college, but it's certainly not nice.
We're going camping.
You don't like that one.
I like that. That's good.
We're going camping. We're in a tent, but you've got an air mattress. So, like, you did it a little bit nicer than you could have, but you're still sleeping in the wilderness.
Yeah. I like it.
What's yours, Peter?
I think it's Mitch's couch. Like,
you recognize that nobody has any clue what
sure.
this scale means.
Of course not.
I think this is fairly relatable. Do you guys understand this scale? Or would you prefer, like, 0 to 10?
You can
go to the 25 alarm scale on this?
We'll go back to the fish or the pizza.
No, the fish one was weird.
The fish one was bad.
All right. What kind of bed is Wes Martin? Because for all the talk of left guard, it seemed like Wes Martin was your guy today.
I think that was the most poignant part of practice for the offense was that.
Was it poignant?
Yeah, that he's For two days now, you talked about
not
both dislike this.
That's just not what the word means. That's just not it.
It's just a weird.
Finish your point, and we'll tell you what the word is.
I'm happy. I'm sticking with it. I'm okay with this.
What was
for two days we were talking about.
Remember
Josh
when Mitch
Garnett
had that great pod the other day?
Yeah.
This is not it.
Go.
No, the drawer test was good.
Okay, man.
For 2 days we were talking about whether Josh Garnett was going to be the starting left guard, and today in their big spectacular Sunday practice, Wes Martin took all those first team reps.
Sunday. Here's a question. I'll start it with a statement. I am more comfortable, I think,
JP,
in Jaron Christian than I am in Wes Martin.
I agree.
Or maybe they're just trying to push Wes because they have some somewhat realistic options at left guard beyond him, and they don't after Christian.
They have no option behind Christian.
No. The options are very, very bad. The option is call Donald Penn and give him a little more money than you did last year.
The option is they're camping with no blow-up mattress just underneath the stars
and
the rain.
And there's a bear and you're holding a hot dog.
It's raining.
Who are you more comfortable with, Christian or Martin?
Equal comfort. So I'm sleeping on Mitch's bed for both.
Couch.
You are.
Couch, excuse me.
Never invited to my bed, period.
Oh, God, that's a Freudian slip.
That's weird.
That is.
Peter. Philly, who are you more comfortable in?
More comfortable with Martin. It's a less crucial position, and there's depth behind him. If this doesn't work, you can get somebody in there. Cornelius Lucas, like I thought, oh, sure, serviceable backup guy. That is not true at all, turns out.
I think we need to see him on the right side. When Cornelius Lucas is on the left side, it's very troubling.
Do you know what your best option, honestly, is if Christian doesn't pan out? It's to move Moses to the left side and just hope and pray that works. That's honestly your second best option right now.
It's to sign Donald Penn or some other journeyman
on the roster guys.
Tackle. Yeah. That's,
if it happens mid-game, that's what you're working with.
Yeah, if it happens mid-game.
They're not moving now, Moses mid-game to the left side.
You might have to, dude.
You might have to.
One thing that's important to note, the NFL made so I've gotten a ton of these questions. The 55-man roster doesn't happen until 2021. So everybody asking that, this year is still 53. But one change is you are allowed to keep 8 offensive linemen active on game days. So it's this is the extreme minutia of football. But I don't even know, Philly, maybe you know, so they always have 7 inactives. But is it 6 inactives now because you're as long as you have an 8th O-lineman?
But is it like an emergency thing?
I don't know. I don't know that anyone does.
Remember the third quarterback rule back in the day?
You could
have a third quarterback.
I don't think this is that.
This isn't that.
That was my favorite NFL
rule.
We need
to get to the – we don't know what the game day procedures and protocols are, period. Like, they're still hashing this out.
Who here remembers Skins Lions early 90s?
I'm out.
When Jeff Rutledge, I think, got on the field. Anybody remember that? Look up and see if that's accurate. I swear they got to a third quarterback.
Okay.
Because it was Rippon, then Humphreys, and then Rutledge. You remember that?
What was great about the third quarterback rule was that if that guy played, then neither of the first two guys were allowed to come back
in
the game.
It's like a pitcher.
So, yeah, like you could rotate between the first two if you wanted to, but once that third guy came in, you were SOL on those first.
Not only that, picked up the W.
Dude, I'm telling you, Rutledge balled out.
They were down by 21 and came back.
What year is that? That's
41-38, 1990.
Yeah. So is it Rippon, then Humphreys, then Rutledge?
Let me get to that. I'm still reading.
They should do it like they do it in hockey, where there's just an accountant sitting up in
Matt,
the press box.
You're
ready
very,
to
very bad at pulling up third string quarterbacks from 30 years ago.
When I was 8,
you're pretty good at.
I remember that game, dude.
I'm not seeing any maybe. Rippon. He just benched Humphreys and went to Rutledge.
Maybe Rippon was hurt.
Yes.
Still a heck of a pull.
Stan Humphreys took a Chargers team to the Super Bowl. Anyway.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
I want to thank David Timoner, who is the general manager here at Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. This is a nice facility. They got a lot of Toyotas. What is that? Is that a Sequoia?
It's giant.
It's a big one, right?
I thought you'd like the pickup truck I parked next to.
I do. Is that the silver Tacoma there?
Yes, of course.
How would you describe that color?
Army green.
Army green. That's a good call. I would like that better if it was matte army green. I would never drive that thing.
Okay, car critic.
I'm a big fan of the matte car colors.
Well, especially something like that. Maybe dull it down a little bit. I want to do questions. We got a bunch of people here.
Yeah.
I continue to be questioning Bryce Love's situation. I'm trying to make our listeners aware of that, barring some big surprise next week. Because I think there's what we saw early on in camp and what the expectations of Bryce Love have become and maybe what the reality looks like.
The one point I was going to say was Bryce Love was on specials. Peyton Barber was not.
Bryce Love did not get a single snap with the ones. And Barber, McKissick, Gibson, Peterson all did.
I think there are two potential ways this goes with Bryce Love. One is he makes the 53, goes to IR the next day.
Yep.
They bring somebody in. Option two is they waive him injured. And subject
and hope,
him to that waiver process to keep other guys on the 53, I think he's the most dangerous guy you could do that with.
Ruben?
No, because Ruben's on the last year of a one-year deal.
Right. You still have a lot
so
more.
There's,
you
there's
still
no
have two more years.
There's no
more
contract
years.
To deal with.
Yeah.
Like either he plays this year or he doesn't. And
right.
if he doesn't, it's a lost claim because he's a free agent.
Right. All right. I just wanted everybody to be aware. That's the hardest – the O-line depth – weirdly, they're deep on guards, so they need to figure out if one of these guards could play tackle because they have no tackle depth. Like they're going to keep Cornelius Lucas because they have to, but unless Sadiq Charles starts playing or something, I mean, there's no way you can keep Timon Paris.
No
way. But you got all these guards, interior guys. You need somebody for the edges.
But there's also going to be – there's a guy better than Timon Paris that's going to get cut by another team.
Sure. I agree with that.
That's going to be when that waiver system starts coming through, and that's not to mention other guys that get caught. There's,
right, that's a good point.
I think that's where they get the backup tackle.
When do they have to make a decision on Charles? Like, what's up with this calf? He hasn't taken a snap.
To me, he's IR. I mean,
because the IR is 8 weeks now.
But he's another guy.
Isn't it 6 weeks?
No, I think it's eight.
He's another guy though who has to make the 53, then go to IR. It's going to be a weird. Your cut day's Saturday. You're going to have like three or four guys potentially: Alex Smith, Reuben Foster, Bryce Love, and Sadiq Charles, who make the 53, but then are IR 24 hours later, freeing up four spots for the guys we all lost our mind about on Saturday.
We're going to nerd out here.
It's going to be a weird 24 hours.
We're going to nerd out here, and then we're going to do questions. Those four guys, I'm with you, they don't want to lose. They'd like to keep in some capacity and to keep them on the 50. Same thing they did with Byron Marshall a few years ago. It's the Byron Marshall dance.
It's the Byron Marshall.
In what order would you risk? Like who has to make the 53 to keep them to get them to your IR? Who in what order would you maybe cut with the injury designation and leave him open to the rest of the league?
One is obvious. It's Sadiq Charles.
Charles, you must protect.
You must protect.
Yes.
He is number one, and it's not close. I'll hear
number
debate.
Four
I'll hear
is obvious, too, and Ruben.
I think Alex might be number four. Really?
Yeah,
somebody,
I think it's close.
Somebody's going to claim $20 million worth of Alex for this year?
Yeah, I think the contract makes it he's like his own guy in this conversation.
I don't think they're cutting Alex Smith.
No, I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either.
I think they're carrying three, and I think he's going to be active. We've had this debate.
Yeah. I think just strictly from a respect perspective.
Not active on game days, but on the 53 active.
They won't cut him. He deserves that.
Charles, Smith, Charles, Love, Smith, Ruben.
I think it's like Charles, Love, Gap, Smith, Gap, Ruben.
I don't know that the gap exists on Love like we think it might.
No,
I don't know.
I have him above the gap.
Mind the gap.
You're saying he's below the gap.
Yes.
Gap.
Yes.
We're picking up on some hints. The new coaching staff may not be as wild as Love. On Love is the rest of us.
You mean they might not be as in love.
And that
that's a,
is
that's
when
a signal for
that's
questions.
A cute, that's a cute
yes, sure is. Peter?
I just had it, but then
I told I cued.
Well, I got confused because you then start talking other stuff.
Ready.
Okay.
You know what we are in love with?
Roto World. The all-new Roto World premium subscription packages have the tools and resources, Philly, you need to dominate your fantasy leagues from drafts to the playoffs. Best of all, subscriptions are not just one sport. They include football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, with cricket upcoming. Just kidding. I just made that up. As a listener of the Washington Football Talk podcast, get $10 off any annual subscription to Roto World Premium. To find your edge, visit rotoworld.com/edge using promo code PODVIP10.
Yeah, very nicely done. I took the ultimate fantasy bad beat about 7 years ago. I'm still stewing on it.
All right. Look, we're not going to get into that.
Fantasy
Thank
bad
you.
Beats are it, boring it, to listen it, to. It, the it, only it, thing more boring is a seven-year-old fantasy bad beat.
One sense. Lost in the title game to my wife.
Okay. That actually
right.
is pretty interesting, I think.
Let's open it up. How long? Is there plenty of cord on that mic?
Yeah.
Philly, just pass it around. Just
who wants to go first?
Let Kerrigan go first.
Questions about Cam, questions about the season, comments, whatever you want to say.
Anything you want to say, but tell us your name. And yeah.
I'm William.
William? How old are you, dude?
I'm 13.
13? Is Kerrigan your favorite player?
Probably.
Good choice.
Who else is out there?
Alex Smith.
Oh, all right, cool. 13, you're in eighth grade?
Yeah.
Cool.
You can do math better than JP then at that point. So congrats.
But so could a fifth grader. So.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
I want to know who you think is going to have the most sacks this season.
That's a great question.
Are you trying to incite a riot, William?
Yeah, we've had this argument before.
Chase Young. I'm not – he's
– How about we do top two?
Okay. Well, do we all agree on Chase? Or Mitch is going to say, like, Matt Ioannidis or something just to drive me crazy.
I think John Bostic could have a sneaky good year.
I think Cole Holcomb, the way he can blitz.
I'm sticking with Matt Ioannidis. That's what I said from the beginning.
Okay.
And then who? Chase Young, number two?
Yeah.
All right.
Although I'll tell you that in the one-on-one drills, especially today, Morgan Moses was getting the best of Chase Young in the pass rushing drills. I think they went up against each other three times, and all three times Moses either stoned him or pushed him around the back of the quarterback. So take that for what you will.
I didn't know. I tweeted one out, a video of those two, and the replies are just outrageous.
Yeah,
like, oh, my God. Morgan Moses is holding. Morgan Moses can't do it. Morgan Moses is going to be all pro. It's just, like, remarkable, the reactions. For
Savage
me,
replied to you?
Chase Young and Montez. And maybe your guy. Maybe 91. I think we're sleeping on 91 a little bit. But I think the winner of this contest will come from the edge. I think it's going to be Chase Young. I think he gets the double-digit sacks. I think he makes a real run at the rookie sack record. I think the guy is the best player for this organization since Darryl Green. I'm not backing off.
I think we're sleeping on Montez Sweat a little bit. Not saying that.
I'd set him as my two
spot.
Yeah,
but I think that he's gonna. I think he's gonna have a.
Although
a huge
all that
year.
Said today, I thought the D line wasn't that dominant in the closest thing to real stuff we've seen.
Yeah, the O line looked. For all the consternation about the O line, they look pretty good.
Chase Young, Montez Sweat, both double digits.
Woo,
Peter.
Woo,
feeling sassy.
Young one. By the way, if you want to team me up on an over-under Landon Collins sacks, I'll take the over. That dude's going to get after some quarterbacks.
4.5.
Yeah, you said it artificially high. I respect that.
I think that.
Yep. I'll go under on that one.
So what? You think he's going to get four?
Yeah.
Because if you're saying something like that, doesn't mean you think he's going to get 1.5.
Nah. His career high in that all-pro year was 4.
You got him at 4? He does seem to be at the line of scrimmage a lot.
Just saying.
Jimmy
Moreland would have had a sack today.
Two. He was coming off the edge a lot.
Is Jimmy Moreland the most likable guy on this team? Oh. On a team with mostly likable guys.
Yeah.
It's a likable team.
He's a sneaky likable, because most likable is Terry, I think.
He's also the most – he's also the
that
most
might be
outgoing.
A better question for them.
Yeah.
Who is the most likable player to you guys? And just yell. Oh, will the mic pick it up if they yell?
Sure.
AP is a good one.
The youngsters versus the vets.
Is that a picture with AP?
Yeah.
You guys got to get on the Jimmy train. He's funny. But it's also different what we want versus what you guys want. Like,
they don't care about, like, someone who's nice and answers questions in
press
conferences.
Right, like quotes and all that kind of stuff.
But if Jimmy would have had a season last year like he did during – like, they mirrored what he did in training games.
Seventh rounder.
People would have loved him.
We also need – like, the names – Terry and AP are incredibly productive – players like Jimmy hasn't done it. We all have seen these glimpses, but until he does it, he's not going to make the list.
We also don't see him that much compared to.
Sure.
Like yeah. Yeah. Right.
The fourth corner doesn't
you
get
know
a
what?
Lot
we'll
of
love. We'll make
yet.
Sure that JP gets some more interviews with him this season.
All right.
We'll get him to get some more picks. Then we can get him on TV a little more. Ooh, I like that.
Fix Great his, first question.
Yes, masks fix are not helpful the, for styling stashes. Sorry.
It still looks good, though.
So, week one, Washington versus Philadelphia, final score.
Oh. All right.
Oh, name, favorite, obscure.
Yeah.
Sam Kleintop, favorite what? Obscure.
Obscure.
Favorite player. Washington football team.
I like favorite.
I like Jeff Rutledge early.
Yeah,
do
I like obscure.
Obscure.
How about favorite
Sharp
and then favorite obscure?
I mean,
I always thought it was
all the time. It's either Sean or it's Coley. It's right. Either Taylor or Coley. It's
those are not obscure though.
Yeah, who is, I don't. Brunel.
That's the second Mark Brunel statement on this pod in like a week.
That's why the numbers
score
are climbing.
In Philly, or
it's here.
Right.
Yeah.
Peter, you want to go?
Sure. I'm gonna say. Philly's kind of dinged up. Everybody's going to be rusty.
Dude, Wentz got hurt. You see that?
I think Washington is going to, early on, they'll be competitive. They'll be able to sneak up on some guys, use Antonio Gibson creatively. The offense and the tempo might catch some teams off guard. I don't think they win, but I think they keep it close.
Sounds like he thinks they cover.
23-20, ooh. Washington.
Do we have a line?
Do we have a line?
Eagles over Washington.
See if we got a line. 23-20. I'm going to take 21-10 Philly. I am all in on long-term stock here on Ron Rivera and this team.
Same.
I just can't see it in the show. There's so many things we see every day, like Sims drops a pass and then Inman drops a pass. And like just so many things we see is like, yeah, they'll get there eventually, but these guys aren't there.
Especially on offense.
We're debating Wes Martin and Jaron Christian on the left side of the offensive line. They're just not
Dontrell Inman is probably going to be their second outside receiver. That's just not okay.
They're just not there yet.
I think you're going to see – a lot of offenses struggle early on in the season, period. Not just here, just because of the craziness of the offseason. I think you're going to see some pretty ugly football early on. I'm going to go 17-16 Eagles.
Hmm.
I think the first two covers.
So I got a line from FanDuel. The
seven
line
and a half.
I think it's
is
eight, right?
5.5.
Oh, boy.
And it's dropping. Went from our Fox Bet has it at 6. FanDuel has it at 5.5. Ugly looking total of 44. That seems pretty low. I'm going with a win. I think.
You feeling okay?
I think everybody knows that I'm not particularly high on this team, but I think there's going to be a little bit of RG3's first game in New Orleans. I think there's a Jet. Think about, we've been watching this offense every day for 2 weeks or whatever, 2.5 weeks. And every day we're like, damn, there's a lot going on here. These defenses are going to have no idea what's coming. This kid Gibson could be the real deal. I think they're going to surprise early. And I'm not sure how great Philly is. So I think Dallas is winning the division.
Who would have thought when I did the drawer test I passed on some bullishness?
Yeah, it went right into his
24
ligament.
20 Washington. Susie Q. How cool was meeting Terry McLaurin?
That
Yeah,
tell everybody
tell
the story.
That story. That story is
okay.
Awesome.
And tell everybody your Twitter handle, because you're a legend.
Oh.
You're like the most upbeat Washington fan there is.
I was just going to make a comment, because I'm not into the question thing so much. And I was going to say, I love all the players. I love all the alumni. That's such a who, Susie Q.
That is
right.
So tell everybody
you.
The McLaurin story, because that's cool.
So I was working at a CVS. I work at a ton of them. I service Hallmark accounts at them. And I was bending down, opening a box, and I see legs walking by, and they stopped in front of me. And he asked me a question. I look up, and I literally froze and just, like, had this look on my face. And he's looking at me, and I said, I'm sorry. I just had a starstruck moment. And then he got this big smile, and he put his hand out, and he said, hi, I'm Terry. I said, I know who you are,
right.
Terry McLaurin.
Right.
That's great.
And so then I showed him the tattoo.
What was the question?
He asked me if we had toilet paper.
Toilet Terry.
I did not want to put that out there.
Is he a one-ply or two-ply kind of guy?
I And what's funny is I wasn't working for CVS. I was working for Hallmark, but I have to walk by that to go to the back room. So I said, well, it's back on the back aisle. And yes, they do have it because I just walked by it. So.
TP Terry.
So I definitely thought the question was going to be like, where are the Mother's Day cards? Or like,
in May.
Well, where's the birthday cards? Like, I thought, I wasn't expecting toilet paper.
Don't tell Miss Finley that he doesn't know when when Mother's Day is.
She probably is well aware of that.
Is he the nice? You've probably met him before. You go to all these events.
I have met him before.
But he's the nicest, most humble, down-to-earth kid.
He was so sweet. I mean, and then when I went, I asked him if I could take a picture, and right as I was getting ready to take it, he took down his mask. I was like, ooh, are we going to get in trouble? And he's And then I took one without my mask, but I only posted the one with my mask.
Well, now you're telling everyone.
I am.
Right.
I guess I am.
Don't worry. It's just between you and everyone under this red and white tent.
That tweet, I got like over 845 likes. I was astounded by it. So I don't know if that gives you a little thing about who people think is their favorite, because I think the most I've ever gotten is like 500 and something, and that was with when I saw Rivera a month or so ago.
Oh, yeah, like at your car CBS. Or something?
You well, just like run into CBS. Washington football team folks everywhere, huh?
It's
they go to CBS. Stars. They're just like us.
They're just like us.
I live in the right place and work in the right places, and it's neat just coming across them at the grocery and whatever else.
For sure, so. That's a great story. Go ahead. Yeah. Did you have a question?
I don't do questions.
Okay, I figured. Got some questions here. The introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Brian from Bethesda.
I'm from Bethesda.
Yeah, go Barons.
Oh, BCC, take that.
You owe me several, like, too many beers to count at Caddy's, but
okay.
We'll make that work. And
I'm Annabelle. I'm from Long Island, but we live in D.C.
Yeah, we live in Cleveland Park.
So are you guys a couple without being a presumptive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm so consensual. Curious because the demographic, like, we get stats on the back end of the pod, and this may shock you. We don't have that many female listeners. So Annabelle, do you actually listen to the podcast? Are you in Chantilly at a Toyota dealership today to support your guy?
Legally, I do listen to the podcast.
Legally?
Because we're in the car when Brian plays it.
Technically.
I wouldn't say, I don't download it, or it's not on my Spotify.
That was very poignant of you.
Well, let's clear some things up. One, start downloading it.
Okay,
two, how often are you in the car? Nobody goes anywhere these days.
That's very true.
We just got back from a long trip.
Yeah.
But
we got tested before and after. We're good.
You
guys are good about doing it pretty often, so I'm always playing it around the house and stuff.
All right. Yeah. What do you think of the podcast? If you grew up in Long Island, you're probably a Giant fan or a Jet fan.
I didn't grow up watching football. It's mostly baseball.
Okay.
And so I'm still learning about football. It's been a struggle. Yankees.
Excuse you.
It's inherited.
Thank God you didn't have the mic for that, Mitch.
That's why I could get away with it.
But yeah, normally when we're listening to it, I get to be like, "Who's that again? Who's that?" And like,
so do you? If somebody that didn't grow up watching football, mm-hmm. how long have you guys been together?
3 years.
You've seen some really awful football.
Well, also though, I went to Michigan, so I got. Well, that's also. I mean, it's not.
What do you think of Pete's Michigan fandom?
Go Blue.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Because it's fake.
It's just kind of made up.
All right. Well, this is cool. So do you ask questions, whatever you want to do.
What is the role of...
One more from me. Sorry.
Okay.
How did he convince you to drive to Chantilly from Cleveland Park for a podcast taping on a Sunday afternoon?
Is it just to get outside and hang out?
It's truly, yeah. Just, okay. You know.
Like, does he have to, like, cook dinner later or something? Like, there's got to be a quid pro quo here.
No, I mean, I kind of want to learn more about football. He's always good about explaining it. So I was just happy to have something to do, and I think it's interesting.
All right.
You want to stop getting our guy Brian in trouble?
Yeah.
Like, you're putting him in the doghouse.
I'm impressed. I also love just a plain football team T-shirt. I think that's the way to go, especially this season. Susie appears that she's going to keep wearing Skins gear. There's a Jet, Pete.
I hear it.
All right, Brian, fire away, dude.
What do you think is the role of Thomas Davis this year?
Love this question because I actually have it myself too.
Kind of have a sweet spot for ever since London Fletcher left. I really like those guys, those middle linebackers around the ball all the time. Leading tackler in San Diego last year for a pretty good team, but it seems like I mean, I guess he's pretty old at this point. What do you guys think?
Love the question, because I've been sitting there watching linebackers, and we see Cole Holcomb play a bunch. We see John Bostic play a bunch. And then we see Kevin Pierre-Lewis and Sean Dion Hamilton rotating, and it kind of occurred to me, I haven't seen a lot of Thomas Davis with the starters, but then JP today kind of said, do you think they're just letting Thomas coast to the regular season? You clearly don't need to see him in training camp. He knows Ron Rivera's system. And that kind of made sense, but it is still weird that we haven't seen TD58 out there really at all at the starters. So am I misreading that?
And the guys that they often have at the outside backer are guys that, like today they had Holcomb, Bostic, and KPL out there at once. And it's like, that ain't your plan.
Yeah, it can't be.
Yeah, so, but I think like we talked about with the O-line, you know what you have in Thomas Davis, and you want to see what you got with the other guys. So I think you can rotate them in. You know, you don't have to play them with the ones. You know what you're going to get out of them. We actually had them mic'd up last week, and I think that'll be out on Wednesday, I believe, the thing. And whatever his role is on the field, his biggest role is teacher off it. Every time that these linebackers rotate on and off the field, they go run to they stand with Thomas Davis, and they're sitting there breaking down what's happening on the plays with the next group that's in there. And he is very detail-oriented to the point where he's talking about his first step and where his hands are as, you know, guys are crossing on him and all this different stuff. He has a feel, obviously, for this defense. He's been in it for a long time. But he has such a good feel for it and is so good at communicating his points to these guys, helping them kind of, catch up and get to where they need to be. So whatever role we see from him on the field, I think the biggest thing is going to be is a teacher on the field for the other young linebackers.
I'd build on that. I'd say I think he's going to be on this staff within the next 3 years. Like, he's really good at doing that. But also, he had options. He could have gone to contending teams.
I think he's the starting strong side back.
I think he's the starting linebacker this year, even though we haven't seen him. It also kind of sheds light on just how impressive Adrian Peterson is, a guy who could be sitting out today's practice on account of him being a future Hall of Famer, but instead, like, goes out there and gets tackled by Chase Young.
Dude, if you look at TD's resume, he's not a first ballot guy, but he's going to make a run at Canton.
I think so.
And then
also what he's overcome.
How about that? For sure.
Two ACLs?
Twice, right. Yeah. One quick note about AP since you brought him up. I think we heard – so Ron Gibbs kind of gathers the troops for his pre-practice speech, tells them, hey, we're going to really kick each other's butts today. They're walking away. And then if anybody else hears this, he kind of grabbed AP and was like, listen, we're treating you like everybody else today. And AP's like, let's get it. Like,
which is what he wants.
Right. It's just moments like that are pretty damn cool. It's those little things that – stand out that you notice.
No doubt. I do have to address a disturbing trend, though, because Nikki Javala is the new Washington Post beat writer, and she is a Yankees fan, I learned today. Now we've got another one.
They're everywhere.
It's not trending a great direction.
They're everywhere. DC Defenders.
I got two mics here. Joel from Fairfax. Let's
yeah,
go
Joel.
O's.
Who's or O's? What'd you say?
The O's.
Oh, all right. Cool.
We can all get on board with that.
Yeah, I'm with the O's. Yeah. Not the Yanks.
Anything but the Yanks. Sorry.
Agreed.
I might hate the Red Sox equally, though. The amount of fake Red Sox fans in my lifetime has what's like quadrupled. But what's even bigger than what's five? Quintuple.
Quintuple. Yeah.
Anyway.
Kind of a two-part question. The fun part is who do we see leading the team in interceptions this year? And the less fun part
fun
of the
one.
Question is what is Fabian Moreau looking like in camp? Because I haven't really heard much about him, and the other starting cornerback slot is a little nebulous to me right now.
How comfortable is that bed?
That was a poignant question.
You're just going to keep pushing that.
Really?
Oh, you better believe it.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Ride it right into the ground.
Jimmy Moreland.
Woo!
Leading in picks?
Leading in picks.
Wow.
Well, we're going to see a lot more interviews with him then.
I'm bullish. Today's a bullish day.
The tent's doing things to you, JP.
Yeah, it is.
Well, 2 weeks, your guy? 2 weeks of camp.
Who would you say is your – I mean,
Ronald
Kendall?
Darby.
Ronald Darby can't stay healthy, dude.
Is he healthy right now?
It's August 29th.
Then I'm sticking with Ronald Darby. You know who has the most picks in camp? Let's see if you guys can come up with
Greg
it.
Greg Stroman.
That's true. Stroman's gotten –
he's got six picks in camp. He leads all DBs.
Can I see your notes on that?
All mental.
It's all mental, and I may have overheard a conversation with two DBs
having a discussion about it. Who's your pick?
Kendall Fuller with Darby just behind him. Jimmy Moreland, maybe one or two, but not anywhere near the leaderboard.
Jimmy Moreland makes plays on the ball.
I got way over two, I can tell you that much.
On Jimmy?
Yeah. Well, way over might be double. But
who was it last year?
Sorry, what was the first part of the question? I feel like we missed.
First part was, who leads the team in picks?
Fabian is the second part.
And then Fabian was the second part.
I think the fact that we haven't mentioned Fabian maybe gives you an idea of he's been injured.
And
was it?
Yes. Yeah, Fabian's been out of the mix. Ron said it's disappointing that they're trying to work him back, but I think it's Fuller and Darby are your first two, and then Moreland Moreau rotating in.
Fuller's missed a lot of time. We haven't talked about that. And they're calling it Veterans Day off, but he missed 2 days in a row.
A lot of days off.
Ron actually said today it's a nagging injury. They're shutting him down to try to fully take care of it.
Because he was out there and then ran off the field today.
Yep.
Yeah, Ron's statement was he's got something nagging, and if they feel like they're at the point now where they need to just shut him down and get him fully better before they bring him back out.
Where's that on the alarm scale?
I'm not bullish on, like, mega bullish on, like, I think he's replaceable. Not with equal caliber, but like.
Kendall, you're saying?
Yeah.
Not with the humble group that they have at corner.
I think the
corner group is much better than the receiver group.
Yeah, I think if you slide Moreau in there instead, like, it's not an upgrade and it's not staying steady, but you don't lose everything.
I think that's a significant drop.
It's not like bringing
Kendall to Moreau, I think, is a significant drop. But beyond that, if Moreau's missing some time and is banged up, and Kendall's missing some time and is banged up, they're relying on Ronald Darby, who's been on the IR each of the last three seasons. Somebody's Jimmy Moreland pick starting to look a lot better.
Greg Stroman. He's making a strong push to be on the team.
I got Stroman as my fifth corner,
yeah,
and the sixth corner is whoever you want it to be. You can make a case for –
Who's your guy?
Aaron Colvin. He's yet to record an interception in his
career. Ryan Lewis,
career.
That's your new guy, Pete.
Yeah, it's
both,
true.
Both of the two guys got pulled off the field today at different points.
They're talking Ryan Lewis.
Fire away, dude. Hopefully we answered that.
Hey, I'm Nate.
What's up, Nate?
What's up, Nate?
Hey, from Purcellville. We drove down here from Purcellville.
Wow.
I don't know if that's far or not, but thank you for making the drive. I have no idea where that is.
I have a question, but first I want to tell you.
Where's Purcellville? What state?
It's like a half hour away, you numbskull.
All right.
Okay.
Virginia,
it took us
like
30 minutes. Anyway, so I have a question, but first I want to tell you. So I grew up in Cincinnati, so I'm a Bengals fan since the 80s. Favorite Redskins game ever. The Redskins are my NFC team. And my son, I'm William's dad, so –
I guessed that.
Perceptive.
Didn't guess that over there.
That in 2020, you got to ask questions. You don't assume anything.
It's still 2020. You got to ask questions.
2016, the Redskins played the Bengals in London.
Dude, that game was epic.
That game was epic, and it ended in a tie. And so, I just wanted to say, William and I.
So you're like equally happy for
I'm
both.
I'm looking
sides.
Forward to watching more matchups like that in our lifetime, but I want them to always be a tie. That'd be pretty good.
This year they're playing.
I love that game. That trip was so fun.
That trip was spectacular.
What's your question?
Okay, so here's my question. So I think I showed you that picture we have of William and his sister with AP.
Sure.
So we got that last year in Richmond, and I was shocked. I mean, I agree AP's probably maybe not first ballot, but he's going to
– He's first ballot.
Absolutely first ballot.
You think he'll be – all right. Yeah. Well, so he'll be in Canton. So the thing is – he started at – I watched him – it was maybe like 200-300 yards down the line of kids, and he took pictures and signed autographs with a couple of hundred kids. And, you know, there's always the weirdos hanging around trying to get autographs for money, but I think the players are pretty good at kind of recognizing, you know, when the kids are
– PR staffers are usually good at helping that.
So,
as well.
But here's my question. I mean, I was floored. I mean, I'm watching a Hall of Famer. I mean, he spent an hour doing this with the kids. Redskins past and present. I mean, is there who in your mind is AP the very best in that, or were there other players that were that
Dude,
good?
Dude, Josh Norman's the best I've ever seen, honestly. And AP is great, but Norman did it. I'd say AP.
Well, Norman
did
was
it.
Great. He was there that day, but he didn't. I think his family was there or something because AP was doing it a lot more than he was.
And
he was
I'm not even going to say one's better than the other because they both go so.
But you
above
think those
and
are
beyond.
Those are two guys?
AP, Norman, RG3.
That's where I was headed. Robert was so good at it.
And you're also at Richmond every player that got to go to Richmond had an advantage because they built that into the post practice things for the players to go out and sign. Yeah. The training camps before that, you didn't really have opportunities where fans could line the fields and players could come up. So one of the old school guys, London Fletcher, was great about it. On game days, right outside the players' parking lot, you would get a lot of fans that would line up. And walking into the stadium, he would go by and sign every article and and he would take pictures with fans and stuff like that. But
I would ask Susie. I mean, Susie goes to all of these things. Yeah. Who have you noticed is the best at that kind of stuff?
Get over there, Philly.
Well, Josh Norman definitely was like that. Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis.
Geis was
like, you're allowed to say it.
He's every single one, like, besides Josh Norman, the last one, every single time.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, every day at camp.
What always stood out for me, though, and thank you, Susie, is with Robert particularly, quarterbacks don't do that. Quarterbacks run off the field and real or perceived act like they have important stuff to get to. And
can I tell you, though, that day Case Keenum came over, and he was giving away footballs and doing – that was a great day for
That's
Case
cool.
Keenum.
The
I just don't want you to trash all the quarterbacks.
No, I don't mean it. Like, every one of them usually has a day where they do it. And Fan Appreciation Day, I think players all make a big effort to participate. But a lot of times QBs will kind of jog off the field.
The organization,
and they're not wrong to do it.
The organization takes a lot of heat for a lot of things they do. One thing they do very, very well is those training camp, those Richmond training camp fan autograph things. It was the first or second year that the team was down there. Paul Kelly, who's one of the guys who's in charge of the operations of the team practices, started making a point of telling the players that they had to go sign and, you know, that they had to spend 5-10 minutes or, you know, whatever the minimum amount of time was. But once those guys got out there and started signing, you just saw down the line you had, you know, and fans, that's the best perk for, to me, it feels like the best perk for fans, you know, getting 2 seconds to say what's up to a Hall of Famer or, you know, your favorite tight end or whoever, you know, whoever it may be. And they do a really good job of, integrating the fans with, you know, with the players.
I think it's our last question. What's up, man?
What's going on?
So we got we have an official old school Redskins shirt, a football team shirt, a Kerrigan jersey, a Defender shirt, and now we got a Caps t-shirt.
Well, yeah, because I don't know what the etiquette now is. I, you know, I don't want to wear my Redskins.
I don't know what it is either, man.
You can always wear a Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah.
That will never change. Yeah.
Phillips came to my house for dinner wearing a Redskins Giants. What's it? Last
single
game of
game
the year?
Commemorative
holiday matchup.
Hold on. Did you buy one for what was the last home game last
year? Jets.
The Jets. No, you bought one at the Jets.
The Giants was the last home
game. And you bought
it? Yes.
That's a
relic. That was the one I wore to JP's house. Yeah. I've got 3 of the game day shirts from the past year.
You have the Jets game and the Lions game?
The Jets game, the Lions game, and then the Giants game.
Are you going to go buy them this year if you're at the stadium?
Nobody will be there. They won't make
them. They might sell them. If they know you're going to buy one, they might sell them.
You should get specially printed.
Tell us your name, brother.
My name is Mario. I'm from Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat it, Barons.
Are you a Rockville High grad?
Nah, I went to Wheaton.
Wheaton, that's okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wheaton curb stomped us in football once upon a time.
That's okay.
My question is that have you noticed – so one of the things that's really bugged me about with the Gruden era was the injuries. And I kind of looked into it, you know, from different teams and different sports, and I feel like how coaches run their practice – possibly contributes to the injuries. So it's like, you know, you got this start and stop in the movement of, you know, and so I'm just curious as to, have you noticed the same drills with these new coaches? Have you noticed any differences? Like, I know Callahan's, like, big thing was, like, staying after practice and, like, working an hour with drills, and then his offensive line would be gone by half the season. You know, like, Sheriff, like, the first season that he was with us, he played all 16 games. And then after that, he never stayed healthy. Like, he's still having issues. And I think it just costs the team knowing what you're going to have in the future. So my question is, have you noticed anything different in the drills? Like, is that something that you would?
Good question.
Good question. Just strictly to the Callahan, and I think we did talk about it last year. I think that was a lot to do about nothing, the after-practice stuff. Certainly the time on the field is one thing, but the after-practice stuff that they were doing was mostly band work, and it wasn't high stress, you know, extra work after practice. That being said, the injuries speak for themselves and are what they are. I think that you're okay.
Dude.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about
Pete's
it.
Pete's normally looking at Instagram like, you're good. It's
I've always thought of this podcast as being such a high caliber of audio quality.
Oh, so
really so high caliber.
Pete is just spitting, by the way. Can
yeah,
you stop
sorry.
Spitting?
Yeah, sorry.
So
go
I don't
ahead,
think
Mitch.
The, I don't think
are
the worst.
Michigan Pete, right now, you seem very laid back.
Yeah,
I'm chilling. It's just,
I know
it's
that's
my people.
That's, There are guys that are staying after practice working. Today you took a picture or video of Haskins, Darvin Kidzie, Steve Sims, a couple other guys running. You saw a lot of the other wide receivers were working on their get-offs against, like, press from the DB. So you see guys still staying after working. So I think that clearly the medical staff last year had whatever issues they had. I don't think that the after practice work was what pushed it over the edge.
I've always thought it's much more a product of who they bring in.
I agree with that.
As opposed to the things they're doing. And Darby's a great example. Like, if Darby gets hurt this year, nobody's going to be like, we were counting on this guy. And then he got hurt. Who could have possibly
seen this guy? He's averaged 9 games a year for the last 3 years.
They gave Brian Arakpo a 1-year contract. And then, this is the shocking part, he got hurt.
Right.
Like, they have a history in the draft.
Four years now, it's been, hey, this is the year Jordan Reed's going to get through. And it's right. Chris
Fabian
Thompson,
Moreau dropped, and all these guys dropped. They kept drafting guys
Iamonte
who dropped
Nicholson.
In the draft.
Paul Richardson.
Because of injury concerns.
Yeah, and they have a trainer.
I think largely the injury stuff is truly just bad luck, bad breaks. But then I think you look at relying on people that have significant injury history, and is that a flawed idea? And I think it is, and I don't think – I mean, if you look at – who they signed this offseason? Darby, Sean Davis missed time.
McKissick's had some issues.
He played
a couple
16
IR
last year,
stints,
though,
in the past.
But Logan Thomas
Richard Rodgers.
Has been very durable. Yeah. But, like, they didn't give Rodgers any real money.
Just thinking out loud.
Yeah, but I don't know. The training staff had serious problems. I don't think – here's the thing. If it was
the car alarm's going off here. Is somebody trying to steal cars from the car dealer? This is a bold threat theft strategy here.
There's so many they won't notice this one's missing.
If the players thought Callahan's practice methods were getting them hurt, they would have revolted against it. Like, the PA would have gotten involved. The players didn't think that was the issue. The car alarms, however, are the issue. Are they testing out the car?
That's our fake crowd noise.
I've been
that's
on a lot of test noise. Drives. I never tested the alarm.
Yeah.
That's how I find out where I parked, though. So maybe that's how they do it, too.
There are a lot of cars here.
You could just beep it twice to, like, know, and then honk. I don't know. It's a good question, and I get the frustration, but I don't know the answer, honestly. I'm not sure anyone does.
Bruce Allen had him commission that whole big independent study into why they had so many injuries, and the study came back with, we don't know.
We need more hot tubs.
Remember the training staff won training staff of the year last year.
That was like the weight training staff.
No, it was the doctor.
We have this debate every
time. Yeah, this is so annoying. It's an old zing that doesn't really hold up.
It's not a zing. It's a factual thing.
I have a question for Mike Phillips. VP of Bits, a role you take very seriously. There's a whole new operation now.
Yeah.
What is your plan for, like, skin tangibles? Are you going to be listening to the broadcast? Are you going to bring your fastball? Are you going to let people ease into this thing?
RIP skin tangibles.
Yes.
And I would have been very curious to get Larry skin tangibles board for tomorrow's scrimmage.
Aren't they now team tangibles?
Because both sides would have had skin tangibles, which would have made for a very interesting board, certainly. If there is lunacy going on, I will point it out. Like, I'm not trying to be mean. There goes the car alarm.
And speaking of lunacy going on.
This is lunacy. It was just such a ridiculous thing.
Sure.
That there wasn't a punchline. It was just, look at this.
This is occurring.
This has occurred.
This is currently happening.
I have no interest in, like, going after Julie, who I think is a lovely
person. Sure, I didn't mean it like
and,
that.
And I think we'll have a learning curve in the job. Because, like, an honest mistake is different than, like, hey, everybody, here's this super ridiculous thing that we're going to
here's
go.
The hot seat challenge with the coach who's literally on the hot seat. It's just getting more and more
the
awkward.
Hot seat challenge. Oh, my God. Like,
they got rid of it, like, 4 weeks in, right? And it just
no,
became,
I think they kept doing it.
They got rid of it at one point, like, before he got fired.
They
but
changed
when he was
the name,
clearly on
they?
The hot seat, it was, like,
they
the Window
it, like,
Nation
the furniture
challenge,
challenge
or something. Yeah.
So
the,
bad.
The comfortable temperature furniture challenge. You guys have any more questions? I think we're going to wrap it.
We got one more.
Just shout at Sam. Or
I love the mustache fix.
Because everybody can see it who's listening.
But they're good for everyone's health. I approve. So, seeing as you guys are in Ashburn, If you had to go to the doctor tomorrow, what would he most likely diagnose you with, Ashburn syndrome-wise? Either
that
player or something about training.
That's question we've ever got.
This is a spectacular question.
Who are you feeling a little Ashburn syndrome-y about?
I know who I am.
So we haven't even teased it, but we have a great interview with Troy Apke coming up, and there's high Ashburn syndrome potential there.
Yeah.
I think Jerron Christian, there's some serious Ashburn syndrome potential there. That's the top of my head. Go ahead.
You're
Mitchell.
Not going to say the biggest one?
Go ahead.
The quarterback.
Oh, Haskins?
I think that there's some Ashburn syndrome potential there.
Certainly.
But
because you know the last quarterback that wasn't locked in as the starter that had this good of an offseason? John Beck. John Beck declared himself the starter, and it just kind of happened. He was god-awful. I think Dwayne is way, 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 way better. They're not in the same category as an athlete or football player. Goodness gracious.
When I go to the doctor, there's a lot of scribbling on there that this guy is going to point out a lot of Ashburn syndrome along the line. Number one has got to be Jerron Christian.
In 3 weeks, we might look back and be like, what were we thinking, saying it was okay for him to be
the left
today tackle.
We're like looking at the prescription. We're like, what does that say? In 3 weeks, we're like, that's Jerron Christian right there.
Here's the Haskins problem, though. Like, think back to Alex Smith. Like, 40% of his throws were great. 59% of his throws were fine, and 1% were terrible. That's how they won. They just didn't turn the ball over. With Haskins, the chart is 80% of his throws are friggin' amazing. Like, he is fun to watch. He put a dime on Sims today.
Yeah.
Steven said it was like, holy cow. Like, there are guys getting paid $30 million
talent,
a year.
The Trey Quinn ball,
make
too.
That throw. But it's 80% great throws and 20% debacles.
Right.
Like,
the misses are bad.
If he can turn the 20 into neutral, like just incompletions, he will be great. But if the 20 remain debacles, that's all you'll see.
He got debacled.
You'll see the stat line, and it'll be 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's what we'll do him in.
My Ashburn syndrome, I think, is just with the offense as a whole. Like, we're all excited about the motion and the guys running around and how versatile there are and how many options there are. But it might just be a little bit into October where, like, who cares about the motion? When they snap the ball, they're still bad. Like, they can dress it up all we want pre-snap, but you actually have to do stuff post-snap and move the ball, and I just don't know if Scott Turner will be able to put lipstick on this pig enough to make it work.
Go ahead, Philly.
My actual Ashburn syndrome fear is that it'll be the season. Like, we're all so fired up, no positive tests, nothing's gone wrong. Like, I'm just waiting for, like,
week one.
I'm waiting for it to go downhill. I hope it doesn't. We're doing a great job so far.
I don't think it's that.
Yeah.
I think we're missing what could – the QB's an obvious one. Have we not – all Ashburned ourselves with this defense? For how many years have they been investing heavy on defense? And hey, this is the year. Look at that D-line. Oh my god, that look, how many sacks are they gonna have? They're gonna break around. Like, we could be Ashburning the S out of ourselves on the entire defense.
Because the only people
have competent coaching for the first time.
I agree, dude.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
This is Ashburn we're talking about.
I have the
powers of Ashburn are outrageous.
I have a full funnel of Kool-Aid for this defense.
You had the Alex Smith theory, right?
All right. So the rule of Ashburn.
Everybody understands Ashburn syndrome, right? Like, we all just get caught up in this lie.
But the other thing is, the craziest possible outcome will always happen.
Absolutely.
And that's always negative. It always ends up with, like, this thing being the biggest possible fiery train wreck. Well, but it's actually, for the first time ever, it will benefit somebody, because the craziest possible outcome for Alex Smith is that he returns to the NFL and is a good football player.
JP will make some cash.
He will.
The other Ashburn syndrome that we haven't even – though we've glossed over since Ron Rivera
made
it. But
do you think that's going to happen?
Or
has it happened? Like, are we there now that Alex's return has hit the wildest mark possible?
Alex walking was, like, the jaw dropper. Like, everything after that, just, I don't know.
I'll always go back to, we were out there on Friday for one of our shows last year, and Alex was down on the field throwing, and Pete and I were sitting there talking, and JP walks up, he's like, oh, who is that? And we were like, oh, yeah, Josh Woodrum's down there throwing because he had, like, a hurt shoulder or something like that. And JP, like, looks down there, and he's like, that's Alex Smith. And we were like, oh, S.
Yeah. F. I mean, that day, see, not was it just Alex. It was Alex throwing to Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
Both looked effing fine. They looked like they were just running around playing football. And I was like, wait a second here.
Yeah. But going back to, what if Ron Rivera is not able to coach this year? What if the chemotherapy is too much for him? And We're giving him – he's become such a massive part of this organization in such a short period of time, and we're lauding him daily on the way that he's running camp and practice.
Deservedly
and
so.
Deservedly so for all of this. If you take that away, or, you know, Jack Del Rio – is Jack – are we aspirating ourselves that Jack Del Rio can step in and do just fine and be – the head coach, the defensive coordinator, and handle
all this?
And
maybe it's not even on Jack. Like,
everybody.
Can this team and organization handle Ron's absence?
Because that would be a
– I don't know that they can.
That would be a giant vacuum if he's unable to be there because he's going through this medical situation.
If anyone questions the power of Ashburn, the head coach is diagnosed with cancer after everything else that's going on. It's unbelievable.
The cloud hangs over it permanently.
It's crazy. And you hope it changes. And go back to early May, and it was like, wow, this team really has some momentum. And then you get to September 1, and you're like, oh, I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah. A lot of question marks.
Let's have one more question, because that got very dark.
Is that because Pete was
Ryan,
talking
you got
about
a positive one?
After Terry, is the running back group second in receiving yards? At the end of the year,
Steve Sims maybe. So it's basically Sims or the field.
I'm Ashburn syndrome is going to hit you hard on Steven Sims. By the way,
you think?
Yeah.
Don't upset Pete. Pete loves that kid.
I don't think Steven Sims is going to lead me to Ashburn syndrome at all. All
right, there you go. You know on the record.
You know who's leading you to Ashburn syndrome? Logan Thomas.
Yeah,
that is a good one.
Might be a big one.
Who's your second leading receiver?
Antonio Gibson.
It might be Gibson.
Antonio Gibson catches will be the second leading receiver.
It might be Gibson.
So you're saying yardage or catches?
Catches for me. Because I'm not sure about the yards, but Antonio Gibson easily second leading.
I'm having a couple.
I think you're sleeping on McKissick. Who just said that?
Yeah.
This huge crowd. There's so many people.
Did somebody say that, or am I hearing things?
So many heard something from me earlier today.
Let's see if people are chanting McKissick. Chanting McKissick.
Heads up.
Dontrell Inman's the starting.
Heads up action. I'll take more catches for McKissick than Gibson. Name your dollar amount.
$25.
Woo!
Live action.
Cool.
Well, you're taking McKissick?
I got McKissick. He gets Gibson.
I take
catches, not touches.
Yeah, catches.
I take 25 of that. Yeah.
Who do I got? 41.
Yeah, cool.
Wait, I want 25 of that too.
On which side?
I want Gibson.
I'll take your action too.
All right.
The JP Sportsbook is open. All right, cool.
I need to text you another phone number. I just need to text you.
One more. This is fun. I'm having fun.
By the way, I'll say this. I think the second leading receiver this year is not a receiver. I think it's a Logan Thomas or it's a McKissick.
I don't think it's Logan.
Under.
Oh, I have another one.
Okay.
Second leading touchdown receiver behind Terry.
Logan Thomas.
I think it's Logan Thomas. He may not make a lot of catches.
I was just about to say, over under TDs for Logan Thomas.
What do you set it at?
You guys taking off?
Thank you.
You want to take a picture with us or anything, William? Or are you good? Come stand over here.
Let your
dad
Adrian
take a picture.
Peterson.
He's got a picture with Adrian Peterson.
Right.
He's taking a picture with Peter Haley.
Adrian
There's
Peterson and now J.P. Finley.
You get to hold the mic.
Here we go. We got over here.
All right.
They're taking a picture with the young fan here. Right. Yep. He's trying his best to look like he's happy about this.
We were wondering if there was going to be free food.
You want a chip?
It's a hot Doritos.
Get the picture. All right, 1, 2, 3.
That's a nice, happy family photo there.
Take care, William. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for coming through, guys.
All right.
Enjoy your trip back
to
Purcellville.
Thank you guys for the Bengals game.
Purcellville.
Purcellville.
What state is that in?
Virginia, I'm pretty sure.
All right, you had a question. Oh, no. Logan Thomas, what we were about
to do. He's not going to have many catches, but he's going to have a lot of them go for touchdowns, is my theory.
Over, under, four and a half touchdowns.
Over. I'm going to say 30.
I was going to say 3.5 for the line.
I'm going to say 35 catches, but 5 of them are touchdowns.
All right.
I'm on board
some
with
over,
that.
Over, under show thunder here. You can't just do it all in one show.
What do you think? We don't have a drive to the Grand Canyon to do all of our over-unders this year. So,
That is the road trip I will miss the most this year. Is going
to
be.
I just want to stop. I just wanted to stop in. What was my town?
Prescott.
In Prescott and win some cash. Move on.
You'll find another town to do that. I'm sure.
I felt like a bandit.
Stop. Terry McLaurin last year, 14 games, 58 catches, 919 yards, 7 TDs. Second leading receiver, Chris Thompson. Who in 11 games had 42 catches for 378 yards. Do you remember who the third leading receiver is?
I don't know, but you're describing a team that went 3-13.
Like catch-wise?
Yardage.
Um, Jeremy Sprinkle.
No, not that bad.
Harmon?
Vernon
Harmon.
Davis?
No. Oh.
365 yards for Harmon and 310 yards for Steven Sims. Paul Richardson was making $11 million a year and had 245 yards for the year. Will the Oops, second leading right. receiver for this team get over 400 receiving yards?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I think there's
going
to be like –
You're saying it's Gibson at 400? That's a lot, dude.
Gibson, McKissick, Thomas. I think it's going to be a lot of people just over 400.
You just put 25 bucks on Gibson.
Yeah. I think
you think both Gibson and McKissick are getting over 400?
Yes.
So you think Dwayne's going to throw for 6,000 yards?
No, I think he's going to throw to 400 yards to you. There's going to be all types of people.
How many yards you got Dwayne throwing for?
I don't know. My math's getting a little. 1,200 to McLaurin, then 800 to those running backs gives you 2,000.
You just said 400 to Logan Thomas.
500 to Logan gives you 2,500. Inman and some other people. Sims got to count Sims 3,200. Yeah, I got him going for 3,900.
You got Sims at 700 yards this year?
3,900 yards for Dwayne Haskins.
3,750 sounds entirely reasonable.
Okay.
So that's not that crazy.
Thank you.
Right, but he hasn't
assumes a functioning offense.
He also hasn't accounted for
Jared Christian.
AP's going to get a few catches. And
yeah, the randoms.
Like the randoms, they're going to get another 200 yards or so between 500.
Cam Sims and all his potential will get like 20 yards total this year probably.
Oh, Pete.
We saw Brandon Scherff throwing the outs to the linemen. Maybe
Michael
Brandon Scherff will throw for a few yards.
Yeah.
Over, under. Well, I like the, let me give me a second here. Over, under.
There's a genius at work.
3.5 different pass throwers this season.
Under.
Oh, I'm taking over because I think three quarterbacks and then some sort of gadget.
You think all three quarterbacks are going to make throw pass this year?
Yes.
Wow. That's juicy.
I don't think we're going to see – I don't think we're going to see Kyle Allen this year.
I think the tent's gotten to you guys. You got to pull the plug here.
You don't think – We've been out in the sun for a long time
I'm responding today. Specifically to Pete's statement just now. All three quarterbacks will throw a pass this season.
The weirdest thing happens in that.
I don't think that's the craziest. All three quarterbacks threw a pass last season.
Yeah. And four the year before. Four the year before.
All right. So 3.5. Pete's over. Mitch?
Players – I think,
but like I'm talking Tress Way.
Yeah,
I'm talking like some obscure Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I'm going over 3.5 because I think Tress throws a touchdown this year, or throws a pass this year.
Good news is nobody's made it this far, so I can spill the secret. Logan Thomas will throw a pass at some point this season. He's a former.
I feel good about that one as well.
I like over 3.5.
I love it.
All right, we gotta go. the tent might be getting to us all. Thank you guys all for coming. Thank you all for listening. We are at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We very clearly. Ride with them. We hope you guys do the same. They're good people. They'll take care of you. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're going to Apke. Anything else to say, Peter?
No more car alarms. No more airplanes.
So, Philly, are we going to see plenty of you or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as they keep opening the doors to me, I'll keep showing up.
That's what I like to hear.
My doors are always open for some Buzz and Neds.
How's Carver?
I'm bringing ZZQ. I'm
on board with that, too.
Yeah. How's Carver?
Carver's good.
Pete on the floor.
Little over 20 during the pod yesterday, he peed on the floor a little bit. That was his one mistake so far. So to me, that's a big win. To
have you peed on the floor?
Have you?
No.
Did you when you slept on my couch?
No.
Did you sleep? Did you pee on the couch?
Let's go.
Oh, weird.
It's time for Troy Apke. Thank you very much for listening.
We are very happy to welcome Troy Apke onto the podcast. Troy, I got big news for you, man, and I hope you're able to kind of handle this. You are the clear front runner for 2020 training camp MVP. How does that feel?
Oh, man. it feels good. But, I mean, every day I'm just going out there. I'm just trying to compete, be comfortable, trying to be a leader out in the field. So, you know, whatever comes with that, you know, I'm just getting ready for, you know, the season, really.
I mean, you've done a hell of a job with it. Like, how do you feel? It looks like you're the starting safety next to Landon Collins. How does that feel? Are you you ever seen the program? Are you going around smashing windows and yelling starting defense? Or what's your reaction?
You know, I'm excited. You know, I put in a lot of work this offseason. And obviously, it's a different offseason with the virtual, you know, OTAs and all of that. But I think the coaches did a good job kind of teaching the defense and everything. And kind of me coming out to the training camp, you know, at first I was just kind of happy to, you know, just be out there with pads on, but you know, I've gotten a lot really comfortable with the defense, and you know, I feel good out there.
what is it about maybe your third year? Because one thing I've noticed is you and Jerron Christian, you know, same draft class, back-to-back picks, both really look to be in line for starting spots this year. Is there more to kind of having a couple of years in the league?
I think that, you know, that's kind of for everyone. My first year, I didn't play much. You know, I got hurt. Second year, I got reps. You know, I started playing at the end of the season and everything. And it's the biggest thing is just getting out there and, you know, being comfortable, and just getting reps. And, you know, I got a lot last year. So, you know, I just took that to this training camp, you know, and just being more comfortable out there.
What is your preferred nickname? Because I've heard a number of them.
My preferred nickname? I don't really care. A lot of people call me Wonder Bread. A lot of people call me
that one.
Because it's Troy and Apke combined. So, you know, that's kind of back and forth. But, you know, whatever anyone wants to call me, I'm cool with.
I won't ask you to explain why they call you Wonder Bread.
Gotcha.
how do you view the opportunities you're going to get on the field? Rivera and Jack Del Rio have talked about this defense plays well for corners with vision because it lets them make plays on the ball. How does that work at the safety spot?
It helps a lot. And just kind of knowing, I think that the coaches did a good, really good job of teaching the defense to us and knowing kind of where everyone's going to be in the system. So it helps us play with, you know, better eyes and being able to break on balls like that, especially with our defensive front, you know. They're going to get after it up there, so it'll help us out.
What's it like playing with Landon?
It's great. Landon's, you know, he's a pro, man. He's a great vet. He does things right on the field, off the field. When I come to him about a question, you know, he answers it. He tries to give me an answer about things, you know, helping me out, seeing things differently. He's great being out there with him.
So you said Landon's a great vet. On the scale of rookie to vet, where are you? You're now in year three.
Rookie to vet. I'm not a rookie anymore. I don't
got
I don't got to carry shoulder pads and things like that. But, you know, I'd say I'm still learning, and that's what I try and go out every day and just, you know, try and learn something. Whether, you know, I see something, I'll ask Landon or someone else, be like, hey, what'd you do here? You know, what were you looking at on this play? And, you know, that's the biggest thing for me. I don't really see it as a scale. I'm just trying to get better every day.
But, like, will Cam Curl ask you a question? Because to him, you are a vet.
Yeah. Cam's came up to me about things, you know, and it's different as a rookie. You know, you come in and it's a whole new, atmosphere for him. So, yeah, he'll come up to me and ask me things like that.
Is it a little disappointing for you that because of COVID, the rookies can't carry your stuff?
I was never really big into doing that, but I think some other vets might be. But.
That seems like a D-line, O-line thing. Like, it seems very big on the D-line.
Yeah, it definitely is.
What is Del Rio like?
He's great. Like I said earlier, you know, the coaches have done a great job of teaching the defense. And I think, you know, he brings a great energy, you know, to practice, to meetings and things like that. You know, he's been great.
So fans get a little crazy, right? And they see all the firepower on defense, especially up front, and Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, these are defensive-minded coaches, and fans are like, oh, man, we got a top-five defense now. What is a realistic expectation for the improvement you guys could make on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, all that, you know, we can't really look into that. I think what we need to do is just we got to focus on us, you know. I think everyone does their job. I think we could be a great defense, you know. I think where we have made a lot of chemistry during this camp, you know, we're still doing it. You know, today we had a good practice, you know, but nothing's perfect, you know, so we're going to correct things and everything. But, you know, just getting there, just being everyone on the same page, and I think we could be great.
What was your first impression of Chase Young?
Oh, he's a beast.
I went to
Penn State, so I watched games and I saw him play last year at Penn State, so I kind of knew what we were getting with him, but yeah, he'll be good.
You brought up Penn State. How disappointed are you in the Big Ten with no football?
Oh yeah.
Or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel bad just for, you know, some of the seasons. I don't know what the deal is, what the plan is with all that. I don't know if they're gonna play in the spring or, you know, if the seniors are gonna get another year. So I just hope that all works out for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's just such a bummer. But yeah. The flip side of that, how do you feel as an NFL player going through this COVID training camp? I'll say for me, seeing the layout out here and watching the process and the procedures and the protocols, like, this seems doable. Like unless some guys do some dumb stuff, it seems like this can work. What do you think?
Oh, I think we've come out with a great protocol. Like you said, we're getting tested every day. We wear trackers on our hands to make sure we're, distant from people and things like that. The whole facility has changed, with lockers being spread out or whatever it is. And especially we're all pros, and I think everyone wants to play. So I think everyone's going to follow these protocols and, I think we'll be fine.
Obviously, you understand why you need to do it, right? But on some level, isn't the testing annoying? Like they're going up your nose every time, right?
I mean, a little bit, but you got to do what you got to do.
Sure. Trey, I don't want to hold you up too long, man. I really appreciate the time. My last question is, watching practice, and normally training camp, I get to walk off the field with you guys and try to just have conversations, and especially we don't get to do that this year, understandably. But on the offensive side of the football, it's very clear there are some like old school kind of hard line coaches that are yelling at guys all the time. On the defensive side of the ball, it seems quieter. Like Chris Harris is making, there's plenty of noise, but it's not like he doesn't seem to be yelling at you guys as much. Who's like the enforcer coach on the defensive side of the ball? Is it Jack?
Whether, coaches don't have to scream, at you for you to know. Like you said, Coach Harris brings a lot of energy to practice.
Sure.
Paul makes a play, he's sprinting right with us. I think he beats some people to the end zone. But I think all of them have done a good job of, the defense, we bought in to the defense, Like I said, nothing's perfect. We're still working on things. And being comfortable out there and just, finding our leaders and everything. But they've done a very good job of that.
Have you and Landon worked out like an elaborate high five simulation for when the –
still figuring it out.
Still working on that?
I have one, though. Don't worry.
All right. That was top of my list. I just waited a little while. I'm going to let you run, man. Thank you very much. I enjoyed this.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Congrats on the training camp award. It's a big deal.
Thank you.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.